Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that all glory belongs to you. There's nothing that we do of our own accord that is capable of glorifying you in a way in which you are worthy. But as we experience our life and live our lives through Christ, it's that which was done in through the power of Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit that brings you glory. Father, we thank you for one another. We thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you, dear God, for the richness and preciousness of your word and truth as the Spirit applies that to our hearts and lives every day. Father, we just ask your blessing on this time, that it be a time of encouragement, a time of building up, a time of understanding, and a time for our hearts and souls to become more centered on the focus of your love in our lives. We just thank you, dear God, for one another in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I mentioned earlier, with me starting this one new job, as in all jobs of this type and other types, you're immediately saddled with 30 to 40 hours of computer time going through onboarding classes. And some of them are as exciting as how to wash your hands properly, how to use a fire extinguisher, what to do when there's a tornado coming, but it just seems to go on and on and on and on. But there are many other things that are more directly job-related, of course. But part of what, for the first, really the first time that I've had to go through, it was about an hour and a half session on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which it really did help me to understand the topic more, because I pretty much ignore it, because the things that I've heard about it are seem a bit absurd and not really no application to me. But in going through it, me and a couple of staff members, we got talking, it came up, and I said, well, I understand now why, if this is being something that's being pushed and always presented to young people, it would explain why there's so much frustration and kind of a fear of failure constantly, because one thing that it mentioned several times, that this is a very complex issue and that we're all going to fail at it, but we just need to learn to get better at it. But we're all going to fail at it, and we're somehow going to hurt somebody's feelings, and especially with things like social media. Well, you hurt somebody's feelings over whatever, and something that they're sensitive about, and they broadcast it around to everybody what a creep you are, that kind of pressure, nobody should have to live. That's a bondage. That's a bondage. That's saying that somehow we can be superhuman or we should strive to be superhuman. It's very much a modern, almost cultish approach to the ungodly expectation that we can attain our own righteousness. It is a great big nebulous sort of version of the Ten Commandments that simply is untenable. And we were talking, I said, well, you know, I said, this first time I've had to sit through this class or this sort of teaching, I said, but one lady in the room is a licensed social worker and counselor. And I said, no wonder there's so much depression among young people. And she just leaned back and said, no kidding. So it's professionally recognized that this is a source of trouble and damage that is being done. I said, and it's really so simple. Because the Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourself. We are to love one another, even as we love ourselves. And that just kind of takes care of it. Do we do that always? No. Do we try? We should. We should. That's what the Lord has called us to do. But there's no shaming, in a sense, when we don't. It's simply a goal. It's a reminder of the kindness and the love and the temperance, the tempered lifestyles and thoughts that we are to develop as Christians. But it's a process of development. But it's so simple. And what I want to talk about today is along those lines. It really it kind of made me think about these things. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and another thing is that, I won't go into that, except that it's really quite divisive. That teaching is very divisive, and it could be a source of much of the division that we are experiencing in this country. Whereas the Word of God and the work of God in our lives does not divide, but it joins us together. So in 1 Corinthians 12, starting with the 12th verse, we read, "For the body," that is the body of Christ, the body of all believers, both present, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Those who believe in God, who in Christ is their Savior, make up the body of Christ. So we are truly still connected to those that have believed this and walked in this in the past. You know, an easy example is, everybody has a Bible with you. We're joined to the people who labored and laid down their lives to make this book a reality. And they are constantly, daily, a blessing to us, no matter what the translation, a blessing to us that we have access to the Word of God, the written Word of God, that we can be educated and understand and have a constant place of reference to our faith in God. In the future, we do works, we lay foundations, we mark a path for those that will follow in our footsteps as to the most beneficial and most profitable way, the life lessons that we have learned as we have walked with Christ. For as the body, verse 12 again, is one, it's unified, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Pause there. I was thinking along these lines that the body of Christ is the most beautiful, intricate work I believe that God has ever done, and the work He's still doing. He's putting together, assembling the body of Christ. He is working through and dwelling in the body of Christ. We are not just one body or one thing. We are intentionally different, yet we are the same. Our human body is made up of, that's what Paul gets to, is this comparison in a brief way. But our human bodies are made up millions and millions and millions of cells and different body parts. And, if we were to, body parts that we now have in us, if we were to pull them out and hold up an example of an appendix, how many would recognize this and say, well, I don't know what that is, or some other, what's a gallbladder look like? Those sorts of things. Yet they are inside all of us all the time. They are, until we've had surgery, but they dwell within us, and they make up our body. They serve a purpose, but there's lots of different components, living, functioning components in a human body that are essential to make a body. We are not like a potato, where you cut it open and it's the same all the way through. It's just one same thing. It's just made of potato. We are many. We are a multiplicity, if you would, of different things. Completely different, yet joined together to function together with the intent that the body as a whole would be a functioning unit dependent upon many individual units. The body is not just one member. We're not a potato, but many. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It doesn't matter what the foot says. It can, in this example, it can say whatever it wants to say, but it's still part of the body. Well, the implication here is, well, I'm not a very important part of the body. Well, and Paul gets into that. You know, I'm not the face. The foot says, well, I'm not the face, so therefore I'm not part of the body. Is it not therefore not part of the body? No, we cannot separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We are all an essential part of the body of Christ, whether we realize it or not. And that is my hope, is that each one of us would realize more today, after the message today, how important we each are in the body of Christ. Each one of us, though we may not feel like it, and though we may not fully living in that, we are important to make up the body of Christ. We cannot separate ourselves from the body of Christ. The foot can't just leave the body and become its own entity. And if the ear, in verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, we can't just do that. And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? There'd be a lack. There'd be something missing. There would be a capability that would not exist if we were just a big eye. We don't make up the eye of Christ. We make up the body of Christ, whom Christ is the head. But if the whole body were an eye, where would their hearing be? If the whole were hearing, if the body of Christ was an ear, where would be the smelling? These are very basic and very familiar lessons and words to all of us. But Paul is making the point now is that there is this of an essentiality that we are different, yet we contribute to the whole. That we have sometimes completely different functions, completely different appearance, completely different makeup, yet we are important to make up the entire body of Christ. We have a role, we have a part, we have a portion. I think I've mentioned before, one time, many, many years ago, I went to the eye doctor, and in his office he had this big poster of the components of an eye. And it is absolutely unbelievable, the different components in an eye, just an eye, and how we are able to see, how we're able to discern colors, how just how it all ties together and what it does. I don't think anybody could really truly look at the makeup of a human eye and say that it just evolved. But anyway, we are all, we can't all be an eye, we can't all be an ear, we're not just a nose. Verse 18, but now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God arranged and has arranged and still arranges the body of Christ as it pleases him. Sometimes he puts the oddest things, the most different things, side by side, and they interact constantly and are even joined by tissue and different things, even though they are so completely different and odd-looking. I mean, the two are simply not the same whatsoever. but the way it pleases him. Here a week ago, we met with a couple, and they're doing, you know, he was a fireman in Kansas City, and then they were missionaries in South Dakota, and now they're in a small village in Paraguay. That's an odd place for a Kansas City fireman to be, is a missionary in Paraguay. Because the Lord has placed them there, the Lord has been able to use them in a very special way, and hearts and lives are turning to Christ. The body is producing. The body is reproducing. And verse 19 says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Where's the body? There is no body. A body, by definition, is a diverse collection of things, of organs, of, in this sense, individuals that are intended to function together as a system. As a system. Even though there are many differences between each portion and member of the system. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And it's a unity of the body of Christ in the sight of God that we need to be thinking about this morning. It is the unity of the body of Christ in God's sight that we should be very mindful of. God has put us together. God has brought us together. God has done things in my life, in your life, different things, things that might appear to be contrasting. Yet they are designed that way that as we come together, as we gather together in individual assemblies and gatherings of Christians, that we might build each other up. You know, we live in a time now where they're putting these little small cameras. They might put them on the back of an eagle so we can actually experience and see, you know, in a sense, what an eagle sees and what life looks like from an eagle's point of view. They stick them on whales and creatures of the sea and to follow them and to see what they see. They put them on beasts prey, you know, different, like lions and tigers and different things. They put them in all sorts of animals. And suddenly we get to see the world that they see and how they move and how they travel and how they gather. And it's an amazing technology. It's an amazing thing to view. But how the world, and we as Christ, we are brought together that we can help each other see the world as we see it and as we experience. And that's what testimonies are for. You know, God has shown me this. God has taken me through this. And we go, wow, I never thought, you know, again, that people that we've visited with over the years, that what God has done in their lives. Yeah, you know, our lives might seem kind of dull, kind of plain, kind of unimportant, kind of, you know, I don't really feel part of what Christ is doing because I'm not an eye, or because I'm not a foot, or because I'm not an ear. I don't get to experience that, so I must not be very important. But that is exactly the opposite of the lesson that we're hearing here from Paul, that we are many members in verse 20, but one body. We benefit from one another. We benefit from one another's experiences. We benefit from one another's trials and tribulations. Paul mentions that in 2 Corinthians, how that the Lord took him through things that he might have to experience the comfort that only God can supply, that he might be able to minister the way in which and build the other Christians up in the way how God meets needs, how he answers prayer, how he provides comfort. But unless Paul had experienced that and shared that, how would the rest of us know? And that's why we share how the Lord delivers us, and how we share how we go through circumstances and situations that are very, very trying. or things that might be a great blessing, to encourage others that God is faithful no matter what the circumstance. We benefit from that. That's why we take time for testimonies. We take time in, formally as in the meeting, but also informally as we go our separate ways, that we can have those contacts and share our lives with one another and share our lives in Christ with the world around us. The world needs to know that God does things in ordinary lives, in plain old ordinary lives. And he also does very many spectacular things. As Paul writes to the, earlier in Corinthians, he says that, you know, not many wise are called, not many rich, not many powerful, but God uses the simple things to bring to the understanding of, well, we think God has to be really, really special to bring that world's wisdom to its knees, that the world might realize that right now, living in this world is the body of Christ, and it is functioning, and is fulfilling the word of God. that the body of Christ is alive and among them. So where's God? You know, show him to me. You say, well, go ahead and be bold. And say, well, I'm part of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. You're seeing part of the body of Christ right now. And this is how this part of the body of Christ functions. This part of the body of Christ is blessed and worships God in reading Scripture. This body of Christ does this and does that and enjoys gathering together in church or other times and other gatherings to worship with other people and to interact with other people. That the body of Christ is very real, and it's not what you think it is. How many times have you've met somebody and I don't have time for all that, you know, they have these, and I read part of an article earlier, one stumbling block for this young person is a real stumbling block is, you know, why does the church have so much money? Why do all these churches so huge and so fancy and have so many amenities when people are hungry, when people are homeless? Why are these churches so rich? And it stops them from being involved in churches. Those are all things to consider. Those are all things that we should all consider. The works that we do, are they really of God? Are they really representing Christ? Are we doing the work that God has called the body to do? Or do we want something else, something more, something different that is not productive? That's where we all have room to grow. So there's many members, but one body. In verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the head or the hand, I have no need of thee. I don't need you. I'm an eye. After all, what do you have to do with what I see, what I do? I don't need your function. I don't need your place. I have no need of what you do. It has no effect whether you're there or not, whether or not I see. I cannot say that. I cannot say that. That I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. We need each other. We need every component within the body of Christ. We need every component down to each individual cell. I'm constantly getting emails, and many of you know over the years that I've been a blood donor and a plasma or platelet donor, and also a plasma donor. And some people don't have what I can offer and give them. I was able to tell my new boss that, you know, we're talking about, you know, one of the job requirements or one of the things is, you know, what's the company's stand on the COVID vaccine? You know, because I came within 3 days of being let go of one job because I'd said, I'm sorry, no. And she's been through that. And she spoke where place she worked. They lost a lot of employees because they would not submit to that mandate. And now they're complaining there's a nursing shortage. My, my. But anyway, I was telling her how it just didn't make no sense to me. And I didn't tell her my full story at the time. I share that with her again. But for a time, I was a convalescent plasma donor, and they were taking stuff out of my body because I'd had COVID and recovered. They were taking it out, taking it to the hospital, and putting it in other people to help them get well. And then they all of a sudden they turn and tell me, well, you need to get a vaccine. Well, I kind of was the cure for a while. Or part of the cure. Why do I need something to cure my cure? And so it didn't make sense. That's the way we are for each other. We need, the body of Christ needs every portion to be functioning. We need all these different parts in us in a healthy way in order for us to function and be successful. We are intentionally dependent upon the order of Christ operating in our lives. Verse 22 says, nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts or attractive parts have no need. You know, the eye is one of the most beautiful parts of our body, and it really doesn't have any need. You know, there's nothing we can do to enhance the eye, except when the eye serves the lowlier parts of the body, like the feet in guiding steps, and just so many other. I won't make a bunch of comparisons here, but the less comely parts, God has tempered, or this word tempered means to commingle, to combine, to assimilate, to mix together. As a matter of fact, this next word, God hath tempered the body together. The word tempered and together are the same word. God has commingled the commingling, if you would. He has mixed the mixture, having given more abundant honor to that which is lacked. Or which lacked. That there should be no schism. In other words, the more the attractive parts of the body, the more prominent parts of the body, the things that we might say are more honorable, as they bestow honor upon the other things, there is a unity that is created. That there should be no schism. The word schism means a split or a gap or a division. There is to be no division or gap or split in the body of Christ. And the only way that happens is when we would try to break free from the fact that we are commingled and interdependent. Is that's how we are joined to the will of God. That's how we are joined to one another. That's how we are joined to the work of God in Christ. That's how we are joined to the promises of God. Let me just read this from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. This word tempered is only used three times in the New Testament. But in Hebrews 4 and verse 2, it's a familiar verse. We read, let me start with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as it was, as well as unto them, speaking of those of the fathers in the past. But the word preached did not profit them before they entered into the land of Canaan. The word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Not being commingled or combined with faith. And the Word of God that we read, that we study today, that we would embrace today, it must be mixed and brought together with faith in order for it to function in our lives as it should, in order for it to have the power to deliver us, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what we believe God has called us to do, not what we believe we've decided to do. The foot cannot just leave the body and say, you know, I've got better things to do than hang out with the rest of you. We are to be together, tempered, commingled together in all of our idiosyncrasies, in all of our oddities, in all of our different ways. When mixed with faith, and we are doing what we need to be doing, what God has called us to doing, it heals schisms, it heals splits, it closes gaps. It rejoins divisions. When we see and look at the body of Christ as God looks at the body of Christ. I put it like this. I, as an individual believer, I, in Christ, need you to be you in Christ. For you bring things into my life that I need and do not have. You in Christ need me to be me in Christ. For I bring things into your life that you need and do not have. That's both a cry for help and a declaration of belief and faith. But I don't need you any more than you need me or any less. We need each other equally to do what we are in Christ, to walk in the fullness of Christ in our lives, that we might receive things that we all need that we don't have. We cannot supply for ourselves. The foot, no matter how great a foot it is, especially my feet, trip over things all the time, all my life. When the room is dark, my feet kind of become the eyes, and they aren't very good at it. We need each other. It is an interdependence designed by Christ that we might learn that Christ is the head, that he does know what he is doing. And that there would be no division, no haughtiness, no, you know, I don't need you or any of that thing sort of thing going on. For we are built together, and let me read verse 26 and 27. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members are rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular or individually. Both of these are powerful statements to embrace, powerful statements to make, and powerful things to realize. I'm going to repeat that one more time. I in Christ need you to be you in Christ. I need you to be walking with the Lord. I need you to be praying. I need you to be growing in the Word of God and walking by faith in what God has called you to walk by faith in. Because how else are you going to supply me with the things that only can happen in your life that I need and I don't have? There's a responsibility there. But the other side of it is that you in Christ need me. And so there's a responsibility there. There's a great burden, if you would, in a sense. There's a great calling. that we each have. I'm not just saying this about me individually, but that wants something we can all say. I in Christ need, you in Christ need me in Christ. For you, for I bring things into your life that you need and do not have. I am reminded of that more and more with the changes the Lord has brought into my life and the people that I see. I look back now and all the things that God has worked in my life and how he has brought me to this day and this time in my life, and I can see and I witness what I can bring into other people's lives. And it's very humbling because it's not me, it's what God has done and worked in my life. But what I see in their eyes and in their words and their reactions, the result, you know, if our heart had a mind of its own, and it could feel that sense of satisfaction of what it's bringing to the rest of the body, it would beat all the more strongly, all the more confidently, because it receives back from the body this positive feedback and reassurance that how important, how critical it is. My knee the past couple weeks here has been bothering me a lot, and painful to walk on and do things with. And I realize how important it is, whatever this one ligament or whatever it is there, how important it is to the rest of my life. And I see people on a regular basis that are in assisted living facilities or nursing homes or whatever the environment where parts of their body don't work so well anymore. And it handicaps the rest of their existence, especially when it involves the brain. But I can bring something into their lives that they can no longer do. And they bring into my life this humility of what God has done in my life. It creates a great deal of thankfulness and gratefulness for the many, many hours of unseen by the world time spent in reading and studying and praying and believing and interceding. These things that we all do, how important they are. Because they change us, and in that they enable us to change the world around us. I had several other passages, but I'm not going to get there. But I think the important point is that we need each other to be living and walking with Christ. That's essential. If we are to be a functioning, healthy body, if the body of Christ is to do, I know I need for you to be walking with the Lord. You need for me to be walking with the Lord. We need for each other to be walking in the power of the Spirit, that our hearts and lives all might be transformed bit by bit, cell by cell, into what God has called us to. I thank God that this is just so much easier than all these other fancy, unachievable words. You know, if I've fallen in a hole and can't get out, you know, I really don't give a hoot what color somebody's skin is if they're going to help me get out of that hole. I don't even think about it. I had one questionnaire, one form that I had to fill out. You're supposed to check the box on your ethnicity or whatever. Or say, I prefer not to answer. And that's my go-to answer now. It doesn't matter. I prefer not to answer. I prefer not even be brought up. Because we need each other in Christ. And in Christ, as we would have read in Ephesians, there is no separation. There is no difference between bond and free. Rich or poor, male or female, no difference in the body of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the healing that this brings to our hearts and souls as we realize our interdependence and especially our dependence upon you. Father, that we have a responsibility to be content in whatsoever state we are in if that's where you've placed us. We have this responsibility and calling to be joyful and laboring in that which you set before us, that we might experience and that others might see that there's absolute blessing in serving you. Father, bless this to our hearts and to our minds, and may it change our world that we might have some influence on affecting the world around each one of us, wherever you lead us throughout the week. Father, we just thank you for one another and for the presence of the Holy Spirit to take our hand and lead us onward. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
426.
We're 426, verse 2.
Verses
1 and 2. So I'm just repeating what everybody else knows. It's okay. Binds our hearts in Christ and love, our fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our heart in prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, your comforts and our cares. There's a spirit that binds our hearts together as we walk in the Lord. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.